The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you retain, are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said in reply, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my fingers into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and now Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and although the doors were locked, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, signs which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel reading which we have, and including the event with Thomas, is found only in the Gospel of John. This encounter with Thomas is not mentioned in the other Gospels, which is interesting to scholars, makes you wonder if the Gospel of John, which comes very late, indeed, at that time in the Church of John, there may have been struggles about believers and unbelievers. And for that reason, the Johannine Church remembers, as the others do not, remembers this event with Thomas. The doors are locked. It's the first day of the week. Probably the reason the emphasis is given to the locked doors is to show that the risen Jesus comes even through doors which are locked. It's the first day of the week. We're not sure if that's meant to be taken literally, since the reoccurrence, the second time, which now includes Thomas, also happens on the first day of the week. It may be less an historical construct and rather a theological construct, in that the first day of the week was the day in which the Christian community gathered to celebrate the Eucharist. First day of the week, of course, in the Jewish calendar was Sunday. All the early followers of Jesus were Jews, devout Jews, who celebrated their Shabbat, their Sabbath, on Saturday. And when the sun went down and the Jewish Sabbath was completed, then the Christian Jews would stay on And now they would celebrate the Eucharist. So the Eucharist on the Lord's Day began on Saturday evening on the vigil and eventually found its way into Sunday, which was confirmed and became a part of the tradition of the church because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. But it began with the Jewish followers of Jesus celebrating the Eucharist after they had finished their own Sabbath observance in the Jewish tradition. So the first day of the week probably was the day on which they would gather to celebrate the Eucharist, and that's why Thomas is with them 1 week later on the first day of the week. He's known as the Doubting Thomas, which is probably not a good title. And that's something that was attached to him a long time ago. The Greek that's used here is epistos, or become believers, become a believer, pistos. And this has to do not with doubt, but with belief. And there's a good translation in the text we have today. Some of your Bibles will speak about doubt, but this translation is accurate. It says, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe." This is a community gathered around Jesus Christ, bonded through the wounds of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And the community includes the unbelieving person. Thomas did not get excommunicated because he was unbelieving. There's a fidelity, there's a bond to Jesus Christ, which includes those who are struggling, the unbelieving. The meals that Jesus had were meals with sinners. Therefore, it's a community of struggling, searching, sinful people who are searching for a profound experience of community in Jesus Christ. It's not an institution, it's a community. Fast forward, and so many of us, we're searching for the biggest, the strongest, the most powerful, the most perfect institution in the world. For this we defend. For this we speak with pride. We go to extraordinary lengths to defend an institution, and somehow to begin to believe that we can have an institution which is pseudo-perfect. We celebrate an institution which impresses rather than contradicts the world. And yet, we were born in trauma. We were born out of betrayal, of denial, out of fear. We were born out of uncertainty. We were born out of a struggling people. That's something we don't want to somehow bring into our consciousness of our communities today. Humanity tends to scandalize us. And yet that's the gathering of the early church. It's a gathering of sinful, struggling people. We are called to discipleship by the wounds of Jesus. He is confirmed in his resurrection by showing his wounds. Touch my wounds. Belong to my wounds. My wounds will be your wounds in discipleship and in community. And therefore, our compassion does not come from our strength. Our compassion comes from our weakness. And the sins of others and the struggles of others merely remind us of our own sins and our own struggles. And when we come to the place where we say, "I am you,
and you are me. And we're all journeying in community and in humanity, in the wounds of Jesus. That's compassion. The forgiveness which we give is merely the forgiveness which we have already received. I could never know this if I think I am better, if I am stronger, if I am more virtuous, if I am holier than thou. I will never learn compassion, and I will never invoke the privilege of forgiving another person. I cannot belong to this community which is spoken about in the Word of God today because I am perfect. We tend to put labels on one another that way, saying, the Monsignor is perfect. Well, close enough. No, not really. We must somehow touch the humanity of people. We have our children, and we have members of our families who are struggling. They belong to the wounds of Jesus Christ. They belong to the body of Christ. They belong to the struggles of the early community. The uncertainties. It's the wounds of Jesus that call us. How could we hear the call if we only experienced prosperity? How will the wounds of Jesus touch us if we only know success? How would we begin to understand the humanity which surrounds us in the likeness of Christ if we see ourselves only as sinless? Go back to the book of Exodus, the great encounter that Moses has with the living God on Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. And he comes into the presence of God, the living God. Take off your sandals, for you stand on holy ground. You'll find this also in the book of Acts in chapter 7, where Stephen gives his last long homily before his martyrdom. And he remembers this. Take off your sandals, for you stand on holy ground. Be human. You can only meet God in your humanity. Here is a story that I came upon in the Cameroon and West Africa many years ago. I think I might have mentioned this before, but in this little village in the Cameroon, they had a custom that every man in the village, once a year, would go to the temple, which was outside the village, once a year, every man. And at the entrance to the temple, he would take off all his clothes, totally naked. And in his nakedness, he would back into the presence of his deity. And he would sit there. And he would wait until he heard the voice of his God telling him what was required of him for the next year. When he heard the voice of his deity, he went back out, put on his clothing, and tried to live out the mission spoken to him from his nakedness. Marvelous image for every one of us. The only way in which we can hear the voice of God is in our nakedness, in our darkness, in our struggle, in our humanity, in our sinfulness. And we hear the voice of Jesus saying, look at my wounds. And these are the wounds which you have in your life. These are the struggles you have in your life. They are my wounds in you. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And in the end, the cross and the wounds of the cross, there is our salvation. Not through the perfect institution, in Jesus Christ, in the cross. Since the cross tells us of a great love.